Amen. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Want to let those know that are online, we will be serving communion today. So if you can get you some grape juice and a wafer or some bread, we're going to celebrate communion with you today as we recognize what the Lord has done for us. This is Palm Sunday. This is where Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and we'll be celebrating that today. Got a couple of things before we get into the message. Wanted to share with you that next Sunday, we are planning on having our Easter Sunday service at 10 a.m., but we'll be going outside into the parking lot and having what we call a parking lot fellowship. There'll be some other, we'll have some refreshments for you, some things that we can share together and just spend a little time together as we celebrate the Lord's resurrection. Amen? And then also, on that week, we'll be having our youth revival, and that's going to be on Zoom. You can go to our website, and you'll find information about our youth revival. That will be April the 5th and 6th at 6:30 p.m. You can log in, and the guest speaker is going to be Malachi Fleshman of Appomattox, Virginia. He will be our guest speaker. The theme will be Get Connected, Stay Connected. So let's support our youth. Let's support Sean Chambers, our youth director, and let us pray for our young people. Amen? Amen. Now, also, next month, we have one of our members that's going to be celebrating her 100th birthday. We want to make that a special time for her. So Mrs. Ruby Mickles will be celebrating her 100th birthday, and what we'll be doing is having a drive-by after service. On the third Sunday, I believe it is, we're going to have a drive-by after service where you can greet her, you can bring your cards and just share with her your outpouring of love for Miss Ruby Mickles on the third Sunday in April. So we want to bless her as she turns 100 years old. I pray I'll get there, but I pray I'll also be in good shape. So when I get there, I can celebrate it. Amen. So Easter service, our revival, then Miss Ruby's celebration. We have a couple of recognitions before we get into the word. Mr. John Fauntleroy sent a memorial gift in memory of Paul Slusher. So he sent the memorial gift here to the church. So we want to recognize Mr. John Fauntleroy in sending that gift. We also have a thank you that comes from Evelyn Hickenbotham. She thanks the church for your gift. It means so much when others are praying for you. May God continue to bless and keep each of you in his care. Evelyn Hickenbotham, of course, she lost her sister. And then we have a thank you that comes from Demetra Slusher. Bless you for the little things you do in thoughtful ways. Bless you for the way you've brightened up so many days. Bless you for bringing, for your giving heart. As kind as it can be, bless you in a thousand ways for truly blessing me. Thank you, Demetra Slusher. So we want to recognize those. And how many of you have already had your vaccinations or at least one of them? All right. As soon as we can get everybody vaccinated, we'll be able to let more people into the church where we can celebrate. And for those of you that are a little bit anxious about it, you don't know whether you want to get vaccinated or not, let me tell you something. I went through the ward at the hospital, the COVID ward, and I'm telling you, it is tragic. It can take your life. Yes, there are risks to everything. There are risks to everything that you do, but please don't put off getting this vaccination. Some of our members were able to survive. Some were not. But we've got to make sure that we're going to do what's necessary so that we can keep each other safe. Amen? So get vaccinated, and then we'll be able to celebrate and share together. We can take our mask off and smile at somebody. Isn't that all right? Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord and give him thanks today, for he is worthy. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, got a very special message for you today that's going to bless your heart. As I studied for it, I thank God for showing me some things. I'm not going to share with you today about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We're going to share with you about another way that he came into Jerusalem, another way that the disciples were following him. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse number 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered to the chief priest and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day, are you looking at that? The third day he shall rise again. Amen. Everybody say the third day. I want to share with you the message today, getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. Is that all right? Getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. Father, we pray you'd bless us now, even those that are worshiping online, in the parking lot, in this building. Give us words to speak that come from you. Give us a heart to receive it, that we might be delivered from bondage, that we might be set free to serve you and to honor your name. We love you today. We praise you. God, we just set aside everything that is of the self, that we might seek you and your perfect will. We love you and praise you today. Amen. How many of you, show of hands, are uncomfortable right now with some things that are going on in your life? It may be minor, it may be something more severe, but you're saying to yourself, I have a sense that I am not comfortable. I don't like things the way they are. How many of you there? So if you're thinking about that, you're saying to yourself, now the opposite is what I desire. I want to be comfortable. People work so that they can be able to sit back and enjoy their labor, right? And don't get me wrong, there's nothing negative, there's nothing evil about seeking to be comfortable. But how many of you know in the reality of life, it's not always that way? You're going to have some ups and you're going to have some downs. You're going to have some good seasons and you're going to have some bad ones. Here were the disciples following Jesus, and you would think that everything was all right. You would think that everything was going along fine, but the scripture says they followed him, and instead of everything being all right, they were amazed. In the Greek, I looked at it, and I saw where it meant to be shocked, to be astonished, to be in awe, because they didn't know what was next. It all came down to the fact that they were not comfortable. For over a year now, we've been uncomfortable. We've had to wear masks. We've had to wash our hands a number of times. We had to endure those that we care about to be struck with this COVID. And we've had to deal with the outcome. We've had to deal with racism. We've had to deal with issues. And all of these things have pressed upon us. And we say, God, I am not comfortable. May I remind you that this is a fallen world. May I remind you that we ourselves are weak. So being comfortable may not be what we can be all the time. Amen? I know McDonald's says, we'll give you a break today. I know they say that. But if you're following Jesus, that's your focus. I did add a tagline to this message, getting comfortable, being uncomfortable, And the tagline is embracing change and experiencing growth. Everything that grows has to go through a season of discomfort. Are y'all still here? Anything that comes out of the ground has to force its way to the surface. It begins that process. Even Jesus said that the seed must fall into the ground, must die, and then it comes to life. That process brings us through what we call discomfort. As the disciples were following Jesus, they discovered a couple of things. The first thing they discovered, that there's difficulty in discipleship. There's difficulty when you accompany Jesus on the way, because the folks that did not like Jesus, oh yeah, he had some people that did not like him. The people that did not like Jesus, because you love Jesus, they're going to dislike you. They're going to scandalize you. They're going to say evil things about you. When you talk about discipleship, you have to recognize that it comes with difficulty. It comes with struggle. How many of y'all know that living for the Lord is kind of hard? Amen. Matter of fact, let me go on and just say it. It's impossible. You got to have the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit giving you the strength, giving you the power, giving you the ability, you would fail. They discovered that. They also discovered that God uses discomfort to produce determination. How many of you have gotten so discomfortable, you said to yourself, I'm not going to put up with this. Either it's going to move or I'm going to move. Are y'all still here? So it brings about a certain level of struggle, and in that we get determined that we are going forward. I like the verse, because even though they were shocked, amazed, and in awe, they kept following. In your life, as you struggle and you get shocked, Lord, I didn't know that was going to happen. Lord, I didn't see that one coming. You get surprised by the things of life. Keep following Jesus. Why? Because embracing change means that you're experiencing growth. Dead things don't change. They don't change at all. So the disciples, they discovered that it's difficult following the Lord, but it's not impossible, because what we can't do, he does do. And when we get to the limit of ourselves, that's when we discover the power of God. Amen? I'm going to share some things with you today that's really going to blow your mind. But the last thing they discovered is that distress yields to divine presence. I like that. When you're in distress, God doesn't say, well, I hope you make it. When you're in distress, God doesn't say, well, this one's on you. When you're in distress, God's presence says, I'm with you. I will abide with you forever. You read your Bible. God never told you that he was going to make you happy every day. God never told you that you're going to always have a pocket full of money. But one thing he did promise you, I will always be with you. And as long as you, can I preach in here? As long as you've got God with you, he's more than the world against you. Look at somebody for the first time and tell them, keep walking. When you're following Jesus, you can't allow yourself to get distracted just because you're not uncomfortable. The mind of the flesh is always going to tell you, give up, go back. Do what you've been doing. But how many of you can say with me today, we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, and he never failed me yet. Look at somebody a second time and tell them, keep walking. G.K. Chesterton, the British writer and theologian, said, an adventure is often mistaken as an inconvenience. I like that. I like that. You see, when you have this inconvenience, you're saying to yourself, I don't know whether I can take this. And God looks at it and says, this is your growth season. Chesterton went on to say that when these bad things or these inconveniences take place, it is an adventure in disguise. In other words, it's just posing as a problem that could be your opportunity. It could be a moment that you're going to say to yourself, you know what, God, with you, I believe that we can do this. How many of y'all ever said, precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on and help me to stand. How many of you said that? Did you know that the songwriter, when he wrote that hymn, he was brokenhearted because he had lost his wife. He felt like there was no future, there was no hope for him. But then he looked up. He looked up and recognized that God did not bring him that far on his journey to abandon him to discouragement. You're uncomfortable. You're feeling the pain and the weight of the cares of this world. You're uncomfortable. Stuff that you didn't vote for, didn't ask for, but yet you got to live with. Are y'all still here? You're uncomfortable. As they followed Jesus, they kept getting shocked by the fact that a rumor was going around that he was going to die. And then Jesus turned to him and said, yeah, it's true. There are folks that they're going to take me and hand me over to the authorities. Yeah, it's true. It's not just a rumor. It's a fact. And Jesus looked to his disciples and said to them, this is what's going to happen. But you know what? Sometimes you got to go through in order to get to. Some of y'all missed it on this side. I'll get back to y'all. Sometimes you got to go through in order to get to. Jesus said, all of these things are going to happen, but on the third day. On the third day, I will rise again. That inconvenience just might be your opportunity. And rather than you looking at it as a bad thing, it can really be a good thing because it can be an adventure. Now, you can always go through life, panic, in the panic mode, hitting the panic button, and always saying, I don't think I'm going to make it. Well, listen, you can go back to Egypt anytime, right? But to get to glory, you got to keep walking. Look at him for the fourth time, I believe it is. Tell him, keep walking. Accepting the challenge means that we are ready for the change. Accepting the challenge means we're ready for the change. I was listening to a TED Talk. How many of you have heard these TED Talks or been online and you pull up these TED Talks? This one was by Lovie Jones. She's a motivational speaker and author. She brought up three things that I felt were very interesting and applied to this message. Lovie Jones, if you get a chance to look at her TED Talk, excellent presentation that she had on the same subject where you're getting uncomfortable or getting comfortable being uncomfortable. In other words, not allowing those things happening. But she brought out three points that I feel is very important for us today. One, you must be a troublemaker if you're going to go against the status quo. A troublemaker. How many of y'all ever met those folks? Oh, here they come. Oh, yeah, they don't know how to shut up. They don't know how to sit down. They always up to something. They always going to raise their hand. They're always going to say, but... If you're going to say that this world is all right, then just settle down. But the moment you start going in the direction of what looks like right, you're going to have some problems. Because the prince of the powers of this world, the devil himself, does not want you on the Lord's side. As a matter of fact, he hates you. He would destroy you if he could get to you. But you've got a hedge of protection around you. And sometimes God will let down the hedge so that the devil can irritate you. I like that. I like that. So Lovie Jones says you got to be a troublemaker. You got to raise your hand. You got to say, this ain't right. She also said that the first domino is the one that starts the train reaction. Now, remember when we used to line up those dominoes? Those of you that couldn't play dominoes, you line them up and then you let them fall down, right? All right, she says that the first domino is the one that starts the chain reaction, the first one. All of the others fall. Interesting concept. Because the question is, who's going to be the first domino? And rather than knocking things down, we can do that, right? We can knock other folk down. We can talk about them. We can lie on them. We can do a whole lot of knocking down.
But who would be and what would happen if those dominoes, that first one said, you know what, rather than knocking down, I'm going to stand them up. My question to you is, are you going to be that first domino? Will you be the first domino in your household, in your community, on your job? Lovey Jones says that first domino is really the one that gets things going. It takes a brave person. It takes a person who doesn't think about themselves, but they're thinking about what would happen if I do this, that first domino. Think, hold on to that thought now. I'm almost ready to close. I know y'all saying, he's getting deep in this message. But I got a point I want to make. Because we keep trying to get comfortable when life is uncomfortable. How do you turn that around? You keep following. You keep your eye on Jesus. You stay focused on the King of Kings. You say to yourself, if the Lord wants me to be that first domino on my job and speak up and say what's right, then guess what? I'm your one. I'm the one that will do that. Third thing she brings up is that you must take risk. There are no guarantees. There's no guarantee. You know, I know we say that in America, you know, we've got, you put your money in a bank and it's covered by the federal government and it's got a federal deposit insurance on that. You pray it works. Right? But I can tell you without exception, whatever you invest in the kingdom of God, it's secure. The devil can't get in and steal it. Thief can't rob you. Whatever you have given to God, and guess what I gave to God? I gave him my life. I gave him my heart, mind, and soul. And I know that I'm in good keeping and better than Allstate and all of these other insurance. You know, they say you got a piece of the rock if you with Prudential or whatever, and you got all of this if you're in good hands with Allstate and that, you know, State Farm and all. No. They'll cover you up to a limit. Read your policy. But when you read your Bible says that the Lord cannot fail. God is too good. He cannot lie. He is a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. Your job, your task, my task is to keep following Jesus. They were amazed. They were beside themselves. But they kept walking. They kept following Jesus. From that, I want to give you a couple of things before we close here. But I also want to say that when you are following Jesus, you must have a made up mind. If I'm going to be that domino, Fred, if I'm going to be that domino, Al, if I'm going to be that domino, Jesse, I've got to be the one that says, you know what? I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, if I say I'm strong in the Lord, I can't come to a certain place in life and say, this is impossible. This is where I draw the line. I followed you this far, Jesus, but I can't go any further. Let me tell you something. First of all, and I didn't put this in my notes, but I'm glad it came to me. First of all, if you get behind something big, how many of y'all got behind a tractor trailer? You get behind something big, and that thing has what it calls that force, that energy, that draft. All right, and race car drivers will do that. They'll get close enough behind somebody's bumper that the draft will keep them going. Are y'all listening to me? And when you get close behind Jesus, the devil wants you to pull back and give up, but you can't stop because he's got too much draft behind him. He's got too much pull behind him, and he keeps you going even sometimes when you don't feel like going. Some of y'all didn't feel like getting up this morning because your feelings started talking to you, and your mind started saying, you've had enough this week. But you know what? You say, I can't give up now because I've come too far. I trusted God too much. And I can't turn back. Got to keep going. The songwriter said, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Is that what you're saying? Plant my feet. Now, what is he saying? I'm not sure of my own steps, but Lord, I want you to guide my footsteps. Direct me in the path that I need to go. Show me the way, but then help me to walk that way. Is that your prayer? This fifth time, I believe it is, tell somebody, keep going. You got to be uncomfortable sometimes, but keep going. You got to pray through sometimes, but Brother Calloway, you got to keep going. And when you keep going, you'll see that God is still there. Is that all right? Caleb, in the Old Testament, found himself as one of those good dominoes. He and Joshua had gone in with 10 others, and they went out to spy the promised land, and they were to bring back a report to the people. Caleb came back and said, you know what? We are well able. God has given them to us, and we are well able to go in and occupy the land. But you know what? You had 10 bad dominoes. They were lined up the wrong way. And when those dominoes started to fall, the whole camp of Israel, instead of going with the ones who were standing up, they went with the ones who said, we can't do it. Matter of fact, the folks got so influenced by that that they said, we're going to appoint another leader that will lead us back to Egypt. We don't want Moses to lead us anymore. We want to go back to Egypt. How many of you ever told people, how many of y'all ever had people to tell you, give up, just let go? But then something on the inside of you that said, wait a minute, I'm a good domino. I'm not used to falling like that. I got to stand in the evil day and having done all to, can I preach to y'all today? I know it's raining outside, but I got a sun shining on the inside of me. What about you? When you start saying to yourself, I'm not going to fall for this. Most of us can say it by experience because we fell for it before. But when the devil comes and tells you, give up, you're saying, wait a minute, I can't do this. And Caleb and Joshua stood. They watched as all of the camp of Israel, including those 10 spies, they watched as one by one they fell. But God raised up a new generation. But guess who were the ones that were still standing? Caleb and Joshua. Guess who went into the promised land? Caleb and Joshua. 40 years later, but still on time. Oh, bless his name today. And as they came into the promised land, God whispered to Caleb, every place where your foot has trod, it belongs to you. I'm giving it to you because you were faithful. Look at somebody, tell them, that's a good domino. You see, you can fall for these things. Or as Levy Jones says, you can be the person always standing back, taking everything from the world. Or you can start saying, I'm going to be the right kind of troublemaker. I'm going to be the type of person that says, I can do this. And it's sometimes the misfortunes that will cause you to get irritated enough, to get determined enough to make things happen. She said that in 2010, she lost her job, thinking that was the end, when really, she kept going. And that was just the beginning. Will you resolve in your mind that I'm going on with Jesus just the same? I'm going to trust him more and I'm going to serve him better because he is the Lord of my life. There are a couple of things I want to give you in what I call the rest principle. If you're going to keep going, you got to have what I call the rest, R-E-S-T, principle. Here we go with it. Y'all ready for the first one? Everybody say ready. I'm going on anyway. And so the first thing that you've got to do is you've got to be able to recognize who you are. You're not just anybody. You're God's child. When you're in the middle of a crisis, remind yourself, I'm a child of God. As a matter of fact, every time you pray in Jesus' name, you're really praying his name over your life, his authority over your life, his ownership over your life. You can keep going because you're saying, I know who I'm following. I recognize the one who is walking with me. John 10:32, it says they followed in amazement, but they followed. They kept walking with Jesus. And the next example we'll be finding in this principle is that you got to escape the crowd mentality. Escape the crowd mentality. Think like other folk. You will get what other folks will get, and maybe even worse. Are y'all still here? Now, I know you recognize the crowd that was on Jesus' day, but also in this verse, there was another crowd. As a matter of fact, some renderings of this verse says, they followed in amazement and others followed with fear. So you had a crowd, but Jesus only took aside the 12 and talked to them. He didn't talk to the crowd because the crowd were wishy-washy. They were under what we call emotional leadership. Whatever your emotions tell you, that's what you're going to do. You ever seen a little two-year-old when they want something and their emotions kick in? And sometimes even good parents give in to that two-year-old because they can't take their tantrums. Are y'all still here? Emotional leadership. Your emotions are good followers, but they make poor leaders. Emotions do not have vision. Vision comes from knowing the truth and knowing what will and will not work. I got to hear them finish preaching. Y'all say, preach on, preacher. So you got to escape the crowd mentality. Isn't it something how that the crowd on the day that Jesus went entering Jerusalem, you had a whole bunch of folks saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of God, Hosanna, because they wanted a certain kind of leadership. And when they found out that Jesus wasn't leading in the way they wanted to go, comfort, a week later, the same folks were saying, crucify him. You cannot follow the crowd and expect to get very far in Christ. Some things you got to make up your mind and say, Lord, if I got to go all by myself, I'm going on with Jesus. Are y'all still here? So recognize who you are. Escape the crowd mentality. Then the S stands for seek those things which are above. What do you mean by that, preacher? They followed Jesus. They were amazed because they were looking at the agenda for today. The agenda for today said problems. The agenda for today said issues. The agenda for today says this is hard, but Jesus was looking at the third day, the day of completion, the day of resurrection power. You got to look beyond these things of the world, and Colossians tells us, seek those things that are above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Don't you know that you got a place in heaven? So nothing on this earth, nothing down here will keep you from the place that God has for you. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare that place for you. And rather than you get excited about that place, you're worried about this place. I'm stuck in a mess right now. I might be in a mess right now, but guess what? I'm looking up. I used to tell the story about this lily that was located in a cesspool. And a bird flew by. Looked down at the lily and said, hey, Mr. Lily, you're in a mess. And the lily looked back up and said, I might be in a mess, but I'm looking up. You got to look up, child of God. This world is messed up, but guess what? When our day comes, we get to get out of here. We get to be taken up with the Lord. That same God of resurrection power will come again and receive us unto himself. So the rest principle says, recognize who you are. The E stands for escape the crowd. But then the E says, seek things above. And then the T, I love the T. Everybody look at the T. No, not that T back there. But look, I'm talking about the T right here. Take time to praise. Take time to praise. Your praise changes everything. Your praise changes the atmosphere of your problem. The problem is still there, but your praise is greater because your praise is focused on God Almighty. Can I get a witness in the building right now? When you take time to praise first and foremost, you're saying that God has brought you this far. Are y'all still here? When you praise, you're saying that the Lord has been my sustainer. He's been my direction. He's been my blessed hope. You're saying that the praise has got me this far. But then when you praise God, you're telling God how good he is. You are boasting on the goodness of God. Don't let somebody tell you, come on, let's praise the Lord. You ought to have a praise for yourself. Why? Because only you know how good God has been to you. And I tell you what, I know a little bit of how God's been good to you, so I'm going to praise him for you if you don't praise him. Your praise recognizes how good God is. Rather than seeing the amazing problem, you need to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Then you praise God that he's with you on your journey. Every step you take, God is right there with you. As a matter of fact, there are times when you can't even carry yourself. And you know what the Lord does? He picks you up and he carries you on this journey. You ought to praise him because he's with you on your journey. But then you praise him because of the destination. I'm going to get there if you keep walking. How many of y'all grew up in the country? Now, growing up in the country means that a lot of places you went, you didn't always ride, you had to walk. As a matter of fact, in the wintertime, we used to have to park the car, Brother Bolden, up at the main road and then walk back to our house, which was on a dirt road. Anybody in the building? Now, I know some of y'all city folks, you can't relate to this, but we had ruts that were so deep that your car would get sunk into those ruts. Are y'all still here? So rather than the car getting stuck, you would have to walk around the rut. But you know that when you started on your journey, and we didn't have a lot of time, had flashlights. Are y'all here? You know, maybe sometime it was Daddy leading the way, but somebody knew how to lead us around those places so we could get to our house. Y'all ain't praying with me. And it got hard because I'm not talking about 1/10 of a mile. I'm not talking about 2/10 of a mile. I'm talking about a mile that you had to walk to your house. But you know what you had to do? You had to keep walking if you want to get home. Sometimes it would be raining, Reverend Ray, and we had to keep walking if we wanted to get home. On your way to glory, it's going to rain sometime. On your way to glory, it's going to get hard sometime. On your way to glory, you're going to get weak sometime, but keep walking. Sooner or later, you're going to see the lights of home. Sooner or later, you're going to look up and say, wait a minute, I know where I'm going. I can see now. As a matter of fact, you don't have to look for the light because Jesus said he is the light. He will lead you. He will guide you. Do I have any witnesses in here? As a matter of fact, some of y'all can say to yourself, it's been a long road, but I kept walking. Got sick sometime, but I kept walking. And every now and then I'd stop and I'd have a talk with Jesus. And just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. Look at somebody and say, keep walking. You can't give up now, child of God. You can't give up now. You can't let the devil talk you out of your blessing. You come this far. Keep walking. Y'all, excuse me for getting excited, but the devil wants to challenge you sometime. He wants to tell you you can't make it, but if I got to crawl to glory, I'm on my way to glory. Tears tears in your eyes, frustration on your mind, have troubles and hardship, but keep on walking. But then sometimes you get tired and you say to yourself, Pastor, I can't keep walking. But guess what? He will come to you. He walks with you. He talks with you. He tells you that I am your own. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. And when I see him, I'm going to praise his name, because he's just that good. Give the Lord a great big hand. I got to stop right here. I got to stop. But he sure is good. He sure is good. Father, we thank you for your tremendous blessing on our life. Thank you for how you've been merciful to us. Even when we stopped, you didn't stop blessing us, but you kept us. And we're just so grateful, so thankful for your goodness. Pray for that person, Lord, who's lost and does not know you in the pardon of their sin. They need to walk with Jesus. They need to draw close to the Lord. Would you save them today? Even that one that's joining online, would you save them today? Don't just give them a religious experience. Come into their lives. Wash away their sin. Cleanse them from unrighteousness and help them to be a child of God. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the communion, we want to open the doors of the church. If there's anyone that's unsaved, or maybe you've gone astray and you want to give your life to the Lord, we invite you to come. We invite you to come. We got to use social distancing, but we can pray for each other. There's one today. Maybe you're online or in the parking lot. You know, it's impossible for you to come here, but you can go to Jesus. You can talk to him. And he will pardon your sin and cleanse you and make you a child of God. Would you do that today? Don't put it off. Because these are amazing times, and we don't know what's going to come next. Do it today. Give your heart to Christ today. And let him live within you. He'll make you a child of God. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. We're going to get ready for our communion. Those of you that received a communion packet or communion wafer and cup, if you have not, raise your hand and we'll try to get to you. The bread. Let us now take of the bread and receive it. Then he gave us also the cup. Let's take the cup and drink it together. Father, we thank you for these sacraments. Thank you for blessing us by giving yourself. May we in this Easter season recognize, Lord, that it's not always the comfort that brings joy. Sometimes it's moments of hardship that actually draw us closer to you. Thank you for this sacrament. Thank you for your precious gift. We receive it now in Jesus' name, and we are blessed by it. Amen. Come on, choir. All right, say it.
Servant today to communicate your word to us in such a manner that the Holy Spirit will work in us, and as we walk out the door of this sanctuary, Lord, we do pray that we may be motivated by your love, knowing, O God, that you are on the way to the cross, and that you have died for us, and that, dear Lord, you are about to be raised from the dead and to give us life. So, Lord, we pray today that we will go out and tell someone else about the goodness of God, about the love of God, and that we will allow His Spirit to manifest in us so that someone may find hope in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Be with us, O God, today. Save someone as you continue to knock on the door of their heart. Thank you for this privilege, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.